Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
It's time for Spiritual Awakening Radio. My name is James Bean, with you every week at this time on HealthyLife.net, the Positive Talk Radio Network. Spiritual Awakening Radio explores the world of spirituality, comparative religion, world scriptures, and other books that matter, East and West. God meditation, near-death experiences, the vegan diet, and other ahimsa, nonviolent ethics. Education for a more peaceful planet. Freedom of the airwaves. It's unhealthy in a democracy for the media, including radio, to be dominated by one or two monolithic religious voices as if they are the only ones that exist and no other faith community or point of view matters. If the religion spirituality section of a bookstore was like the radio airwaves are in most places, only one or two books would be found there. The shelves would be mostly bare, mostly empty, covered in dust. No longer being content with the empty silence, I began recording my own programs. There is only one time when it is essential to awaken. That time is now. Mission statement. There's not just one religion, there are thousands. After years of being concerned that too few voices, too few points of view are getting heard when it comes to spiritual paths and world religions, that the radio airwaves were not reflecting the diversity that really exists, I started producing my own programs exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, meditation, mysticism, and many sacred texts, bringing to the airwaves the gentle voices of saints, the wisdom of masters or mystics, world scriptures, the great spiritual traditions and classics of the East and the West. My name is James Bean. Welcome to Spiritual Awakening Radio. My email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. From there, there are links to podcasts on demand, articles and blogs, social media, spiritual social networking, at Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and elsewhere, featuring daily spiritual quotes and news about upcoming shows or links to newly available podcasts, all there at spiritualawakeningradio.com. Today's program is part one in an ongoing series, a four-part series. Actually, it could last a lifetime, really, but at least a four-part radio series on the ups and downs, the ins and outs of searching for a spiritual path. All of the issues that go with that. The concerns, the bright, brilliant things, the red flags and red alerts, all of the different ins and outs of searching for a spiritual path. Things to watch out for, things to look for. So much there. So much there. God is not complicated. God is simplicity. God is silence. God is eternity available in the moment, the nowness of time. Human beings, however, add the complexity of different languages and traditions and lineages. And before the 16th Dalai Lama was the 15th, and before the 15th Dalai Lama was the 14th, and so on, different traditions and creeds and doctrines and councils and histories, different schools of thought, denominations, teachers, different types of spirituality for different personality temperaments. A lot going on. New traditions just invented last Tuesday, or ancient paths invented thousands of years ago, perhaps even longer than that, as someone contemplated in a cave, of course, millions of years ago. So spirituality is not new on planet Earth. It comes with souls incarnating into bodies in the world. And humanity goes back many, many millions of years on this planet. There's so much to talk about. So that's why I'm dedicating four programs to the ups and downs of searching for a spiritual path. There is a wonderful prayer, probably the most famous prayer known from the Hindu tradition of the Upanishads, the ancient Hindu scriptures. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. May there be peace, peace, peace in the sound. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Baba Devi Sahib, a spiritual teacher from the 19th century, once said, "This spiritual path and its destination is divine love. The remover of difficulties is the one spiritual teacher who has given you the secret knowledge, the guidance, and experience." I like that a lot. The destination is divine love. That is the goal. Crossing the ocean of this world, entering the divine ocean of eternity. On today's program, we'll explore the wisdom of Rumi and Shams of Tabriz, and we'll cover different aspects of the spiritual journey to watch out for, different things to be mindful of. Let the buyer beware. And sometimes you don't have to buy anything. Spirituality, after all, like sunlight, is free and shines upon everyone without any taxes or fees of any kind, really. God is not complicated. Human beings bring a complexity to the subject. And so, of course, when we're addressing this issue, we're dealing with all sorts of things. But there is a paradox, and it is good to be mindful of this paradox, that God is not complicated. That one can talk about Sanskrit and Hebrew and learning code and reading history and getting opinions from different scholars on different topics. But behind the chatter of the mind is the eternal silence where God can be found right now. And so there is the paradox of the complex and the simplicity in the present moment that we seek to experience. People have a conversion experience sometimes, a born-again experience, or some sort of mystical encounter or realization. For whatever reason, they decide that the time has come for going on a spiritual journey, seeking knowledge, a spiritual quest. They have undergone, for whatever reason, an awakening. And that's a good thing. That's something that people do. One reaches a point where they realize there's just got to be something more to be had during this life. And thus begins the awakening, the spiritual quest. But for some reason, many gravitate immediately toward joining an organization. Now, there is much merit to finding a genuine spiritual community, yes. And there are things to watch out for, you know, to not join a cult. That's good to avoid crazy cults and, getting involved in unhealthy organizations. But being a hermit, being aloof, being antisocial is no guarantee of protection from that either, because one can become one's own cult leader, too. So staying at home, hiding under the bed, is no guarantee that one is free from problems or bad influences. We can be our own bad influence, you know, right in our own toxic thoughts. So a spiritual community is a good thing, can be a good thing. But it is very important to date before marriage, and so too with spiritual paths. It is good to be very careful, let the buyer beware, and not just simply embrace blindly the very first church that you come across, or the closest one to your house, or the very first book that you encounter. It's good to not just gravitate towards something and immediately take the plunge into something, because there is this pattern that one can notice of people undergoing an awakening, which is genuine and real and represents one's holy aspirations, the noble quest of the soul awakening in search of truth. But that search gets or can get detoured or subverted by joining an organization sometimes that's toxic or unhealthy in some way, and then before you know it, you get invested in that organization, get attached to it, donate money to it, defend it, go into denial about it, and get so locked in to the politics of it that it represents a kind of detour or subversion of that original intent. So good to not get sucked into that if one can avoid it and become locked in to something of an organization that is not honoring your original intent, is not supportive of that noble aspiration for the spiritual quest, but is simply making use of it to intercept people trying to get to the light, like a spider with a spider web constructed near the light, because the spider knows that it will get a certain number of souls, customers, victims, disciples, all of the above, any of the above, by being near the light. And so that does suggest a kind of predatorialness, doesn't it, in some cases? And yes, there are predatorial organizations trolling for disciples, looking for numbers, and for them, for the not-so-sincere, for the not-so-genuine, it's all about name, fame, power, and most of all, money. And so one must be very careful to not just jump in and join any old group after you've had some sort of profound experience. But honor that profound experience and be very careful to find a group of spiritual seekers or community that is in harmony with it. So you're not being taken on a long ride, a detour, you know. This does happen all the time. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. And if we're not at the final destination already, may it just be a stepping stone or layover on the way to someplace nicer, a higher road which can be taken when it presents itself. May we always do so whenever that becomes available. There is a wonderful saying of Shams of Tabriz, and I'm sure we'll touch upon this again. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of stars in the visible universe. Wow. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of stars in the visible universe. Don't confuse power-driven, self-centered people with true mentors. A genuine spiritual master will not direct your attention to himself or herself and will not expect absolute obedience or utter admiration from you, but instead will help you to appreciate and admire your inner self. True mentors are as transparent as glass. They let the light of God pass through them. Shams of Tabriz, the spiritual teacher of Ja'aluddin Rumi, the great Sufi poet, mystic. Wow. And that's from the 40 principles of Shams of Tabriz, 40 rules for traveling souls that have open hearts on this spiritual journey. So, some of the things we've covered. There are spiders constructing webs near the light, seeking to get a certain number of souls to come their way. That's just the way it is. Let the buyer beware. You know, at Facebook, there are a number of pages. I think to call them news organizations would be dignifying them with a term they don't deserve. But there are a lot of sites, a lot of websites out there that are always trying to get you to click on some link, Malaysian plane found, and they show a photo of the plane floating on the water somewhere in the south part of the Indian Ocean, and it's just a complete, utter lie to get people to click on links and click through to see some sensational story, some Elvis extraterrestrial thing, some unbelievable photo that will make you weep for weeks, months, or years, some super tremendous sensational thing that's just violating all the laws of physics and gravity all at once, you know? And it's all just about the clicks, all about the page views, perhaps even all about downloading a virus or two while you're visiting some website. There's just so much of that, and social media illustrates that so well. But of course, that principle of trying to lure souls in goes back long before the internet was invented. So always make sure to join an organization if you feel so inclined, if it's in harmony with your values and spiritual quest, and not simply make the assumption that that's how it's supposed to be and you just feel yourself drawn into the black hole, the gravity of something and the politics and the tradition that comes with it. Choose very carefully and slowly. There are a number of wonderful introductory books. When you kindle the fire of book downloading or go into a bookstore to look for books, you'll encounter many best-selling authors, many books on the bookshelves, popular books. And there's a lot of wonderful wisdom there, typically, a lot of great things. They're universal principles that might be in harmony with Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Taoism, Jainism, Sikhism. A lot of universal truths are there about being mindful in the now, in the present moment, having conversations with God, A Course in Miracles, and so on. There are wonderful teachings available. And the good thing about those introductory books, and that is what they are, introductory books, is that they are written in the everyday language of the population. You don't have to learn Sanskrit or Hebrew or start writing code. It's in everyday language. And so those can be very helpful. Those indeed can be very, very helpful and expose you to a lot of universal truths, very, very basic teachings, and can be a great place to start. However, those books are not the final destination or final revelation, teaching all that can be taught, saying that all there can be said, you know, all that can be said is not found necessarily there. They are introductory books, but do keep in mind that they serve that purpose of introducing universal teachings, but really are more of a tip of the iceberg, representing vast traditions and states of consciousness, far, far more. There's always more. A key spiritual principle is there is always more. This is not the top of the mountain. This is still in the valley. You know, there's a lot more going on. And, of course, a glacier is kind of like an upside-down mountain, so we can mix our metaphors a little bit. There is more, typically. The Stairway to Heaven syndrome, another way to illustrate this with a musical metaphor. Some pop radio, top 40 radio, you know, exposes songs to the world like Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Great. But truly to know Led Zeppelin, you have to listen to all of those wonderful albums like Physical Graffiti, for instance, which happens to be my favorite Led Zeppelin album. And you realize that there's not just one or two or three songs. There's a whole band there with a history and all of these wonderful songs. And so, too, on the spiritual journey, there may be best-selling authors writing a few books that are kind of like Stairway to Heaven, the popular song that people have heard of. But there's a lot more that can be explored, whole albums. In the light. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio on HealthyLife.net. My name is James Bean, and we're just getting started. After the break, more about the ups and downs, the ins and outs of searching for a spiritual path, the spiritual quest, one's noble aspirations to find truth in this life. Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make a noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio, this week exploring the ups and downs of searching for a spiritual path, part one on this week's program, this week's edition of Spiritual Awakening, part of a four-part series on this daunting topic, I always say God is easy to figure out. Human beings, however, they are very complicated. That's where the complexity comes in. For me, spirituality is not a complicated thing. Close your eyes, be in the moment, be in the now, until that nowness starts to feel like eternity in progress, which it actually is. And here you are, here we are. God, eternity, and you. Right before you, right in your state of consciousness. It's not about complexity, learning Sanskrit, learning Hebrew, learning to write code. Not complicated at all. In fact, you don't have to think at all. You don't have to devote a lot of megawatts to thought and mastering doctrines and creeds at all. You have to transcend all of that stuff if you can. And blessed are those who can. So that part is not based on complexity or difficulty, but rather is uncovered by silence and simplicity here in the moment. But when it comes to looking at spiritual paths, those all have histories and languages and people and lineages, and before the 16th Dalai Lama was the 15th, and before him was the 14th and the 13th, and history and centuries and creeds and scriptures and who wrote the Bible and who decided what at the Council of Nicaea and where do the Gnostics fit in and does Jesus have anything to do with Christianity at all? Everything about the history of religion is very complicated, isn't it? Jesus not really born on Christmas, and yet they celebrate, Jesus not really born in December on December 25th, but they celebrate his birthday then. Why is that? I mean, nothing is clear-cut and simple. Easter is not Easter. Christmas is not Christmas. Nothing is as it seems. Some say this, some say that about everything. I mean, even birth dates of some spiritual teachers are in dispute with different schools of thought about what the correct date should be. Easter is celebrated different in Eastern Orthodoxy than it is in the Catholic and Protestant West. You've probably heard of Russians celebrating Christmas on like January 9th, you know. Nothing is clear-cut. There's always different schools of thought and points of view about everything, including birth dates, death dates, when Gospels were written, if Buddha was a vegetarian, how could he die of eating some bad pork, you know? Everything about humanity is complicated and is not in the simplicity of the moment, in the silence or the nowness of the present moment. So, but it is very good to sort through history, and I know there are some faith traditions that are anti-science and anti-scholarship. But you know what? I have really come to greatly value independently paid, independently salaried academic scholars willing to analyze the history of Buddhism, Hinduism, Santmat, Sufism, Kabbalah, whatever it is, whatever spiritual path it might be. And they have no economic incentive to be yes men, women, to giving a positive review of someone's creeds and counsels and choices of scripture. They're just researching independently, trying to uncover various truths of history and report that history accurately. And I find that to be so wonderful, such a wonderful thing. So I greatly value the independent academic voices in the religion departments of the universities of the world willing to analyze history from a non-biased, neutral, reality-based instead of faith-based perspective. More of that, please. I find that there to be something very divine in that, because if their quest is honesty and truth, truthfulness, truth is another name for God. And so, no problem. No problem there. We need more honesty and scholarship and less faith-based history. where the outcomes are predetermined by the bias one has already. As it says in the ancient Hindu Upanishads, this very powerful prayer, probably one of the most powerful prayers ever composed, lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Let there be peace, peace, peace in the sound. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thus ends the prayer of the Upanishad. Baba Devisab, a spiritual master from the 19th century, said, "This spiritual path and its destination is divine love. The remover of difficulties is the one spiritual teacher who has given you the secret knowledge, the guidance, spiritual guidance and experience." What a wonderful thing if you can look to a teacher, an author, a group of friends, a spiritual gathering, and find some of that quality or level of inspiration and guidance. That is such a wonderful thing if you can get it, if you can have it, to have some kind of sense of inspiration, an author, a scripture, a source, a living teacher, a living master, a satguru, or just someone that gives you that kind of guidance that you actually feel pretty confident about, pretty solid with. The spiritual path, this spiritual path and its destination is divine love. The remover of difficulties is the one spiritual teacher who has given you the secret knowledge, the gnosis, spiritual guidance and experience. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening Radio. My name is James Bean with you every week at this time. Stay tuned for more. We're just getting started. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
Be vegan, make peace, be good to the planet, and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio. There's a delightful book called The 40 Principles of Shams of Tabriz, 40 Rules of Traveling Souls and Open Hearts. And this really caught my eye from these sayings. Shams, of course, was Rumi's spiritual teacher, Rumi, the great spiritual poet, mystic of Sufism. He had a spiritual teacher. His name was Shams of Tabriz. This is a great saying. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of stars in the visible universe. I'm like, oh, wow. That really lays it out rather vastly, doesn't it? Wow. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of stars in the visible universe. Don't confuse power-driven, self-centered people with true mentors. A genuine spiritual master will not direct your attention to himself or herself and will not expect absolute obedience or utter admiration from you, but instead will help you to appreciate and admire your inner self. True mentors are as transparent as glass. They let the light of God pass through them. Wow. Isn't that just amazing? Time to go home. That says it all right there. We're not going home. There is more to say, but that is just an incredible paragraph from Shams of Tabriz in this tradition of Rumi poetry. Of Sufism. And I want to actually spend a little time talking about Rumi, because earlier I was talking about, you know, how in the U.S., in the West, there is this tendency to print up some business cards and to proclaim oneself as the great teacher, the great authority. Whereas in the East, there is this emphasis on tradition, ancient tradition, lineages of teachers, apostolic successions, many generations of Dalai Lamas or 10 Sikh gurus, lineages that have been with us century after century after century, a whole different way of approaching the spiritual path. Rumi has become a very popular and famous poet mystic in the Western world. People are very drawn to Rumi, like moths are drawn to the flame. And this deserves some explanation. Who is this Rumi person, and why are people drawn to his poetry? Rumi is more than a dispenser of clever words. Find your own shams. People are drawn to the poetic utterances of Jalaluddin Rumi, who lived from 1207 to 1273. In the lives of many, Rumi has become a rare example of encountering a genuine spiritual master of the past. He's not with us now, but he once was in the world and was a very profound being, a very high soul, what Sufis call a murshid, an advanced spiritual teacher or guide. More than a poet, they sense there is a kind of radiance behind Rumi's words. That really, Rumi offers a radically different and far more enchanting approach to God or the spiritual world than the conventional religion they've known of or encountered up to that point, you know. Rumi was a 13th century poet and Persian Sufi mystic. For some reason, this particular Sufi poet has become extremely popular and well known to many. Yet Rumi is one of hundreds of such celebrated Gnostic poet mystics, saints, and Sufis of the Eastern world. Sufism is a form of Islamic Gnosticism, a school of mysticism with Neo-Platonist influences, a certain combination of ingredients, a little bit of Pythagoras and Plato and Plotinus and Gnosticism, Gnostic Christianity and Syriac Christianity, and Kabbalah. I mean, there's a whole matrix of mystics of the ancient world. And a lot of these mystic schools have
a lot of shared, they have some common principles and even a shared set of foundational type philosophical underpinnings, such as Neoplatonism and Gnosticism. Sufism is a form of Islamic Gnosticism, a school of mysticism. Rumi's spiritual teacher or master was Shams of Tabriz. He was a disciple of Baba Kamal al-Din Jumdi in a Sufi order, a living school of spirituality, a Sufi group. In Arabic, Shams means sun. For Rumi, Shams of Tabriz was his light giver or guru, the spiritual guide, someone who communicated the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the methods of spiritual practice, meditation, how to ascend through the heavens and commune with the beloved supreme being. Rumi is a great read, composed great poems, contributed much to the world of literature. Yes, that's true, but there's more to Rumi than just literature or poetry. To truly get Rumi and come to appreciate his message, we need to find our own living Shams of Tabriz. We need to plug into that same matrix of the mystics and tune into that same reality. Understand a little bit about the Sufis, a little bit about the teachings of Sufism, about the different heavens. And one of the key teachings of Rumi, you notice, is that for Rumi, the supreme being is a lover. The spiritual path for Rumi is not just sort of a mouthing doctrines every week, you know, see you next week, God, bye-bye. But a love affair, a romance, getting a room, literally meditating in that room, but a divine love affair, a divine romance. The supreme being, or Allah, the supreme Lord, is a Lord of love, is the beloved, the soul, the disciple, the spiritual seeker is the lover. So this is a mystical encounter of the lover and the beloved. It's like the Tao yin-yang symbol all together, the light and the dark side all together as one in this romantic intertwine. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening Radio after these messages.
Loving Hut is the fastest growing chain of animal-free gourmet vegan restaurants all over the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a healthy, sustainable, planet-friendly, plant-based diet. All mouth-watering items on the menu are 100% vegan. In the Atlanta area, visit Loving Hut at 6385 Spalding Drive, Norcross, Georgia. To see what's on the menu, get driving directions or other information, go to lovinghut.us/Georgia. lovinghut.us/Georgia. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/lovinghutGA. That's facebook.com/lovinghutGA.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio. My name is James Bean, with you every week at this time, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, and books, East and West. My email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. The website is at this address, spiritualawakeningradio.com. At the website, there are links to podcasts on demand, various articles I've written my blogs, spiritual social networking sites, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, many other sites as well. I have my own online e-library of sacred texts, including a section devoted to Rumi poetry and Sufism, Gnosticism, and many other categories. Just go to the website. I love websites that are so long and complicated with so many links that you have to bring lunch and maybe supper or dinner too. SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. It's going to take you a while to get through that website. It's been something I've worked on for a number of years to provide resources online. As I mentioned before the break, for Rumi, the divine relationship is a relationship of romance, like the Tao symbol of the light side, the dark side, the circle, yin-yang, in this eternal embrace, cuddling for all eternity. That really is a great illustration. It's using a Taoist symbol to illustrate a principle in Sufism, but it's the truth that for Rumi and the Sufis, the Supreme Being is the Beloved. And so it's poetry that's always appropriate for Valentine's Day, no matter on what day you read it. It's a whole treasure trove of poetry that's very much in reflection of this tradition of the lover and the beloved, the way of the lover and the beloved, the heart of mysticism, a divine romance where God is the ocean of love and each soul is a lover merging back into that divine ocean. Sufism is a form of Islamic Gnosticism, a school of mysticism that has its roots, that shares roots, actually, with other cousin schools of mysticism. And this is a good thing to mention, too, because spirituality has a few ancient foundations. Platonism, Plato, Plotinus, Pythagoras in the Western world, Abraham, too. And in the East, Buddha, Krishna, Guru Nanak, Lao Tzu. I mean, all of these provide, you know, a huge contribution to the foundation of spirituality in the world, and all healthy traditions honor, you know, this great treasure trove of the past, you know, all of these wonderful scriptures and teachers, and are quite influenced. A lot of universal truths are shared in common between Sufism, Kabbalah, Gnosticism, Christian mysticism, Jainism, Buddhism, the Sikh tradition of the East. A lot of shared ideas are in all of these. You really can't see religions as separate and competing against one another. They're all different operating systems surfing the same cosmic internet, if you will. They have more in common. They're not all divided and separate and at odds with each other. They're all different browsers, to use, continue with the computer analogies, browsing the cosmic internet, you know, with some differences, but a lot alike, a lot of common shared values and methodology. Sufism is a form of Islamic Gnosticism, a school of mysticism. Rumi's spiritual teacher was Shams of Tabriz. For Rumi, Shams was the light giver, the guru, the spiritual guide, the Sherpa guide about going up the spiritual mountain, offering his wisdom about this journey up the mountain. Someone who communicated the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the methods of spiritual practice, the sacred names, the meditation practice, how to ascend through the heavens and commune with the beloved Lord of Love, the Supreme Being. Rumi is a great read and composed many wonderful poems and contributed to the world of literature for sure, but to truly get Rumi, we have to become Rumi. We have to become like Rumi and find our own Shams of Tabriz. The master-student relationship. Rumi trusted his heart and soul to Shams. But Shams says, "This is a good beginning. What more can you offer? you know, outrageous, right? Shams, you know, Rumi is like saying, I give you my all, and Shams kind of goes, eh. And Rumi cries, there is nothing more. Shams replies, still you sleep, Rumi. It is a new day. Wake up. You resist my words because of your own insecurities and the fear right now you could be the god that you truly are. Could I, as your friend, allow you to continue living a life of limitation when you know better? Says Shams of Tabriz. A famous saying of Rumi, if you seek to know God, sit at the feet of the masters. Feed your heart in conversation with someone harmonious with it. Seek spiritual advancement from one who is advanced. Rumi says, may you find your own Shams and learn from them the secret of secrets. Rumi found in poetry the only form of expression befitting his reverence for his teacher, Shams of Tabriz. Shams is the object of this poem of Rumi, Rumi's Ode to Shams. You come to us from another world, from beyond the stars and void of space, transcendent, pure, of unimaginable beauty, bringing with you the essence of love. You transform all who are touched by you. Mundane concerns, troubles, and sorrows dissolve in your presence, bringing joy to ruler and ruled, to peasant and king. You bewilder us with your grace. All evils transform into goodness. You are the master alchemist. You light the fire of love in earth and sky, in heart and soul of every being. Through your loving existence, existence and non-existence merge. All opposites unite. All that is profane becomes sacred again.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on your plate. If you want to please your palate while still promoting love and harmony with the planet, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain in the world, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To learn more, go to www.lovinghut.us. Once again, the address is www.lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through healthylife.net. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/spiritualawakeningradio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.